the Esports World Cup, obviously everybody knows it's going to be in Riyadh. Everybody knows it's being run by essentially the Savvy Games Group, the actual tournament itself. The Esports World Cup is its own entity, wink, wink, with Ralph Reichart, former co-founder of ESL, over there running that and dispensing money to people. But no, they totally earned it. It's not just an arbitrary stipend they're giving out to all of their mates so they get the max reach and the and everything else. Don't you think too much about that. No, nothing is granted, not even the grants. Everything is earned. So anyway, one of the things that have been speculated about was just how many games are going to be there. And there was a lot of rumors going around. The first, obviously, was Valorant, which I've already explained. As always, James Fudge has been doing great reporting around this over at the Esports Advocate. Why Valorant is not part of the Esports World Cup in 2024? The Esports Advocate has learned that Valorant was seriously being considered for inclusion in this year's Esports World Cup, while sources tell us that teams within the Valorant professional esports ecosystem pushed Riot Games hard for the game to be included in the Riyadh, Saudi Arabia event taking place this summer. Other sources say it was not included due to scheduling conflicts, as the competitive schedule was already finalized. The competitive calendars for both Teamfight Tactics and League of Legends were a little bit more flexible, which is why they were included, according to our sources. So this is kind of interesting, isn't it? Because one of the big complaints about Valorant so far as an esport has been that it doesn't have a particularly interesting schedule. You know, you've got your VCT stuff, and then you have this huge gap. And it's like really funny. I've seen like lots of funny tweets and stuff like that from people who work in esports, you know, just about the season in general, where they talk about, like, you know, there's teams that in tier two, like Monty, who have grinded like fucking 120 maps in a month or something. And you probably wouldn't play that conceivably in like 4 years of Valorant as things stand. So there's that to consider. But also the idea that you can have such a Spartan schedule and yet somehow the opportunity to add an international event can't go ahead, because obviously we've got this scheduling conflict, is like hilarious to me, that there wasn't a way they could have like put it on hold or move it around or whatever. But anyway, I know for a fact that they really wanted to get Valorant on board. I mean, there was some talk behind the scenes of it, you know, they wanted to bundle it as a package deal, like, oh well, if we get League, we want to get Valorant. But obviously Riot are going to be calling the tune on that one, and so, you know, this is how it panned out. So eventually you are going to see Valorant at the Esports World Cup in the future, in 2025. And I imagine, by the way, if I was guessing, I don't think the Esports World Cup is just going to stay the Esports World Cup. I imagine there's going to be some spin-off events as well. Because in the original plan, as I understood it, when Savvy Games Group, funded by the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund, bought ESL, Face It, DreamHack, ESEA, all of that other stuff, all that was already bundled into one, the whole idea was all roads lead to Riyadh. And that was going to be, you know, they wanted multiple events in Riyadh so they could sort of deliver them to their populace. That's the part of the plan. But anyway, whether or not that will end up happening, I don't know. But what I do know is we are going to see this expansion of games. And so one of the other entities that so far we've kind of been wondering which way they're going to break on all of this is obviously Activision Blizzard, now kind of owned by Microsoft. What's going to happen with some of their games? And there'd been a lot of rumors around that would Call of Duty actually make it out there and be part of the Esports World Cup. Now, again, this is kind of where we're getting into this, like, hilarious territory for the old heads. You know, it's basically, we were told for like years, games developers really didn't like to have their games side by side with each other. And if you remember all of the drama with Riot and how they kind of used to do things, you know, the whole reason we ended up with Intel Extreme Masters and ESL One was essentially so Dota had a prestigious ESL RAN tournament to go into, because Riot Games didn't want Dota anywhere near their product because people might compare and contrast them and realize Dota is superior. And so they also tried to strong arm organizations back in the day, where if you had a League of Legends team or you were going to be in LCS, you weren't allowed to have a Dota team on your organization. This was the kind of freaky controlling overreach that Riot Games was known for. And so obviously now to see that we're in a world where we're going to have Valorant, Counter-Strike, and Call of Duty, these FPS titles made by totally different games developers all side by side at the same event, just because Saudi Arabia wants it and just because they're going to underwrite it and pay for it, and the games developers have always been against this as an idea, are just going to blithely accept it now. I find that kind of hilarious. And so that brings us to today's story, which is the Call of Duty games confirmed for the Esports World Cup. This is James Fudge saying the details are kind of thin, but Call of Duty Warzone and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 are going to be parts of the Esports World Cup in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And I want you to think as well, you have to look at it a little bit through the lens of, with the announcement about the Esports Awards and that kind of being taken over by Saudi now, you're going to have lots of Call of Duty style influencers involved in that, and obviously big streamers. And so a lot of these people are going to be there anyway. And so, yeah, they're going to run a Warzone tournament on top of everything else. And I would imagine that's probably the one that's going to get like a little bit silly. And that's going to be the one that basically, you know, that maybe you'll get some people entering it that, you know, for fun and whatnot. And the Modern Warfare 3 one will be the kind of serious representation of the Esports World Cup. Not a surprise, the reaction to this from the Call of Duty scene has been, oh, it's great. It's overwhelmingly positive. It's one of those, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard because obviously I like these people, that, you know, consider them pals and everything. But I mean, you have to kind of remember, you know, Hector said that thing about MBS having a kind face, and Scump has obviously promoted the Esports World Cup on his channel. But in general, the sentiment towards this has been entirely positive from the Call of Duty community. They don't seem to have any moral objections to any of this. And again, it's interesting because Activision Blizzard, I know obviously now they're kind of folded into Microsoft, and I don't remember Microsoft being insufferable about, you know, oh, we want to make you a better person through a video game, so here's a bunch of woke fucking trash called Overwatch, and, you know, if you don't like it, you're a bigot. I don't really remember Microsoft doing anything like that, you know, but they were out there in force with the Halo rainbow flags, I didn't notice this month, but that was fine because they nominally hadn't done any business with Saudi Arabia, I guess, technically up until this point. But now the Activision Blizzard subsidiary of it is going to have Call of Duty at the World Cup, so I guess it's fair game to criticize them now. But yeah, generally the Call of Duty fan base has been really supportive about this. They think it's going to be rad, you know. And that's just kind of where we are in the industry, that there's not really a lot of resistance to this at this point. It's basically me and about half a dozen other people. So anyway, you can see this is Ralph Reichardt's quote. By adding two amazing Call of Duty games to the Esports World Cup, we have cemented our promise to deliver the world's best games to esports fans everywhere, said Ralph Reichardt. Call of Duty is the final piece of our historic EWC 2024 schedule, and we're excited to welcome its athletes and global fan base to Riyadh this summer. The Call of Duty Warzone competition will feature 21 teams competing for a share of $1 million, and the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 competition will have 16 teams vying for a $1.8 million prize pool. Results from these competitions contribute points to the overall club championship rankings, which, I think if memory serves me correct, there's like another, I think it's like $2.5 million from a $5 million split between performance and social media available. And so there you go. So yeah, they're definitely going to keep adding things onto the buffet because they want to compromise every scene. And so what you've got now is there really isn't any serious tier one esport that is kind of operating outside of the Esports World Cup now. You know, StarCraft's in there, League of Legends is in there, Counter-Strike's obviously in there, Overwatch is in there, if you call that Tier 1, but the OWCS is all Saudi now. You know, League of Legends, obviously. It's kind of, like, ridiculous kind of where we're at, and this doesn't come as a surprise whatsoever. FGC, yeah, they're standing strong. Yeah, no, straight in there as well. So there's and Dota. I mean, the bottom line is, if you enjoy esports, there's sort of like not really. There isn't. It is kind of like the yesterday's Patreon question, which was, you know, should we all just fuck off and enjoy Farming Simulator? And I guess, yeah, you know, I was kind of joking when I made that video about saying, oh, I want to go and like support some smaller esports. But I think actually, no, I think that's kind of something I might go and do. I might try and learn about like some relatively small and obscure esport and try and offer it something and elevate it, because all this tier one crap now is just like, I mean, it was infested with morons, you know, all these people that had the VC money and wanted to like overspend. And then it was kind of the games developers were just fucking being super obnoxious and super unreasonable and, you know, just acting like they're fucking tech god gurus when in reality they're just very mediocre people. And then obviously now with the Saudi stuff and the Chinese stuff, it's just like, well, what can you do really? So yeah, there's definitely room for some smaller esports to be promoted on this channel, I think, rather than just fucking continually putting my energy into something that is now just a Saudi Arabian state plaything. On that note, I guess I'm going to have to write to the FTC again as well. Because for those that don't know, I contacted the Federal Trade Commission back when I saw that ridiculous promotion of the Esports World Cup, none of which was disclosed as advertising. You remember that? We did that whole bit about, like, it wouldn't be 30 teams, would it? And we did that. We did that video. And obviously, James Fudge, again, did a good write-up about it at the Esports Advocate about why there's a sort of necessity to have to disclose this stuff, because it is a financial quid pro quo. They're not promoting the Esports World Cup for nothing. They're doing it because they're in a contractual obligation to do it with the Esports World Cup. And so I don't know enough about the technicalities of the law to know whether or not they actually need to disclose it, particularly as many of them deliberately framed it, not as a promotion, but as just an update. Hey, guys, you'll never guess what tournament we've been updated to. And so anyway, I compiled all of the videos, all of the tweets, all of the statements, the original agreement, the announcement about the club program, and I sent it to the Federal Trade Commission and the European Advertising Standards Agency and everybody else, and said, look, I don't know if this breaks any laws, but this looks to me like undisclosed promotion. And so anyway, I got a confirmation email about a couple of days ago where the FTC have said, you know, thank you very much for sending this across to us. This is the case number. We are going to be investigating. And thank you so much for helping to protect consumers. So I was like, okay, right, well, that's great. That's a start. But anyway, the next thing that I'm probably going to have to write to them about happened just the other day. And I want to remind everybody, right? Just a reminder, Rolling Stone launches Games Vertical with help from Saudi Wealth Fund. This was, they brought back a Rolling Stone gaming vertical. And they wrote that super cringe-worthy statement that I read on stream. And obviously it's up there on YouTube now if you want to go watch that video, just in case you don't know the full story. Won't rehash the details here, but obviously the Savvy Games Group basically came in and they bought an entire vertical for the purposes of reporting. And it's fucking crazy to me, because we've already looked at details about how they're like, they're paying for journalists from like DigiDay to go and go to these events and write pieces about them, and the disclosures buried in the story. We talked about that as well. They're also, you know, funding conferences for like GamesBeat and stuff like that, doing it through the mechanism of sponsorship with Scopely and everything. And so obviously now they're resurrecting an entire vertical over at Rolling Stone and paying for it. And I said in the video, the first thing that this vertical is going to publish is going to be puff pieces about how great the Esports World Cup is, how great ESL Face It events are. And of course, it's happened. And this, again, for me, looks like it might very well need to be disclosed. So I'll show you the piece, and it's kind of funny, actually. So this is, if you remember, Mr. Cruz that gave the original statement. Here he is, right? And you can see here at the top, branded content. So in other words, they put this little label up here, branded content, right at the top. And it basically is saying, like, yes, we're doing this in association, in conjunction with our paymasters, with the people that have bought this, bought us and brought this vertical back from the dead. So when you look at this article, you have to look at it through that lens. I mean, just look at this. Picture this. You and your old friends are together for your annual meetup. In your bag is your Magic the Gathering kit, complete with custom map. It's a game you always play as a group. It has been since you were little. Walking together, bathed in neon light, you catch a glimpse of another group. They're playing Street Fighter at an arcade cabinet. A man clad in armor passes by, his broadsword tucked beneath his arm as he manages a hot dog between his gloved fingers. Three dinosaurs startle you to a laugh as they cheer at BMX riders flipping high above the ground. In the distance, a massive stage cuts lasers through clouds of smoke. Counter-Strike is in the air. If this all sounds like a bizarre dream, it's close. This is DreamHack, and despite how it sounds, it's very real. Now, this whole piece, by the way, pretty cringe lead. This is ridiculous, like the kind of fawning over it. And you can see here, they're talking about, oh, wow, people coming together from all over America, and they're playing board games, and they're playing video games, and they're playing PC games, and there's a competition in the background, and it's so amazing. Yeah, wow, look. And here we get to it, right? So while one might think the inclusion of so many different aspects of gaming adjacent culture might dilute the experience of a video game forward meetup, rest assured that at DreamHack, there's more hands-on gaming than anyone can fit into a single weekend. Outside of Overwatch, there are separate stages for multiple games that will be featured in this summer's Esports World Cup. Wow, you mean to say you're writing an article about a totally separate event, the Intel Extreme Masters in Dallas, part of that just happens to be, we must promote the Esports World Cup. Did we mention the Esports World Cup? It's like, Ralph Reichardt's the fucking turned into Homer Simpson in the Poochie episode. I've got some ideas. Every time Poochie's not on screen, everybody must be asking, where's Poochie? So every time the article isn't about the Esports World Cup, people have to be saying, what's going to happen at the Esports World Cup? It's that fucking transparent, guys. Look, I don't expect much from journalism these days. As I'm recording this, there's some fucking Kotaku nutcase is threatening to fight people for charity or something on fucking Twitter. And Keemstar's trying to set it up. It's like, I don't know. But anyway, but this is fucking pathetic. So there's a chic suite for EA Sports FC 2024 that glows pure white. The fighting game community is in full force around the Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8 stage, where guest commentators like FGC legend Justin Wong give their color commentary. And of course, the main event, Counter-Strike. At the far end of the festival, beyond the sea of gaming stations, is the ESL Impact stage, where the world's best female competitors are competing for their spot in the finals and a $123,000 prize pool. The biggest event of its kind for women's esports athletes. It's an opportunity to show festival goers the hype behind the ESL Impact League and the technical prowess of its players, who hope to someday move on to competing in the Intel Extreme Masters alongside their male counterparts. Oh yeah, that's right, they can do that. They can. It's weird, because we just spent years saying that, it's a super fucking hostile place. But actually, we had co-ed right from the start, incredibly. So, interesting, isn't it? So, I'm going to get to the really funny bit in a moment. But I just want to say as well, I'm staggered by the absolute pathetic cowardice of Intel on this. Intel, who have done loads of initiatives for women in esports, gaming, coding, you name it. Intel that religiously support Pride and LGBT causes, that are one of the biggest sponsorships in esports, and their partner is not only didn't tell them, oh, we're going to get bought by Saudi before they re-upped a fucking five-year contract. Not only is... you know, kind of now going to be adjacent to something that supposedly is antithetical to their core values and indeed their actions historically within the space. But even in a fucking puff piece article, they can't escape the stench of the Esports World Cup. It just has to be adjacent to them. And I'm just wondering, like, when are they going to say anything? Because they're a huge deal, you know. $100 million sponsorship is fucking insane. And it's like, listen, what would be a real W on this entire issue would be if Intel said, well, yeah, we can't sponsor you anymore, ESL. And, you know, they fucking find a way to get out of the contract. Obviously been in contact with Intel, not had any reply about it. I guess they just don't have any strong thoughts, almost as if they were in some way complicit and secretly approving. Get that bag. But anyway, here's what I wanted to show you, because this is the funny bit. They're talking about parents here. Here we go. One of the key aspects of DreamHack's mission to bring communities together under one roof is to create an inclusive environment that celebrates gamers' different identities. Oh, that's interesting. I definitely want to hear more about this. In the tabletop hall, players tell Rolling Stone that the event affords them the opportunity to move past the safe space they've created together on digital platforms like Discord and appreciate each other in person, many for the very first time. Many are using the meetup to help overcome social anxiety or connect with new people on a personal level after extended periods of isolation. Even the most confident people see the power of gaming to express themselves and use the shared platform of the DreamHack stage to elevate voices across the spectrum. Atlanta-based streamer and performer Bitch Puddin uses gaming to bring the art and elegance of drag to a whole new audience. A gamer at heart with a special affinity for Street Fighter, Puddin hosts Friday's Drag and Drop, a cosplay and gaming drag show. With a sharp tongue and theatrical flair, Puddin parades drag performers representing all of gaming's biggest franchises across the main stage, enrapturing the crowd in between somersaults, dressed head to toe in a glimmering suit based on the world's most iconic speedster. To Puddin, there's tons of crossover between the drag and gaming communities. The ability to take on a persona, choose who you want to be, and empower oneself is at their heart. It's a dream come true, to be honest, they say. I think the through line with DreamHack and all the different stuff coming together is what gaming's all about. You can pick a character that looks like you or reminds you of a friend, or a character that you can see yourself being inspired by to become. Now, there's lots going on here. So, first of all, I want to congratulate Mr. Cruz on, after years of the gaming press saying esports is a sewer full of toxic masculinity and fucking white privilege and whatever fucking Americanized Berkeley bullshit you were spouting that week, right? All these fictitious concepts that you just fucking vomit out, right? Now you've come round to what people like me, who've spent 20 years in esports, were telling you the whole time, right? And it's weird, isn't it? Because I don't think you think this. I don't think you believe it at all. I don't think you really believe gaming and esports is a welcoming space for people from diverse backgrounds. You know why I don't think you actually believe that? Because the entire fucking gimmick, the entire way you make money and attract an audience is by telling people the internet's terrible, everyone on it's a piece of shit, and if you go and the gamers are all fucking bigots. That's how you make your cash. That's how you've made your cash for ages. Incredibly, it's a very small shrinking pie, isn't it? But now that we have to cape for Saudi Arabia, now we have to say, oh, it's totally diverse. Everyone's welcome in gaming. That's exactly why Saudi is putting money into gaming, because they too champion our overlapping common values. Oh, that's interesting. It's like the shamelessness of it. It's, you know, I've talked about this phenomenon before. Remember when I lost 2,000 YouTube subs for pointing out that, you know, when the Democrats need your vote, right, in America, in an election year, they wheel out AOC to play a rigged game of Amogus with some influencers, and they sit there and they go, oh yeah, we love the gamers, we love the youth vote, we love you guys. And it's like, wait, last year the same media outlets reporting on AOC playing a rigged game of Amogus to tell you, you must vote
Democrat,
you must vote
Democrat.
It's your right to vote, and you should never surrender it for anything as long as
it's Democrat.
Right? They wrote that up, but the year before, the same outlets, and I brought up the articles side by side, they were saying all gamers were Steve Bannon influenced, Russian funded, Republican, Trumpist, alt-right, Nazi school shooters. And you go, huh? But we need your vote this year. So listen, here's, oh yeah, the gamers, we love you again. Macron did the same in France, remember? Yeah? When his corrupt police shot an unarmed immigrant in the chest at point-blank range in a stationary vehicle, then lied about it, prompting riots in the country. Macron came out and blamed Grand Theft Auto. And he said, these violent video games, they're fucking warping everyone's mind. It's definitely them that are to blame. And then, a couple of weeks later, after signing some deals worth millions of dollars and pledging to make France a hub for esports so the youth can do things and money and investment comes into the country, he turned around and he said, I love gaming and esports, me. You all saw me in that Vitality hoodie. That wasn't performative. And all the French esports influencers went, I clapped, I did. So, don't worry. I'm sure when we all have to stop caping for Saudi, probably around about the same time there's actually an incident in that country. And what I mean is, you know, a competitor's going to go to Riyadh. Uh-oh, bit too much knee there, madam. And it's going to go public. And then we're all going to have to go, oh, that's not, that wasn't part of the plan. That's not how we were sold this. And then there'll be a little rumbling. There'll be a few other people going, well, you know, I mean, obviously, this is a complicated issue. We are dealing with, you know, different cultures. We'll see. Okay. But anyway, so just shelve that idea. Shelve the fact we've got games journalists now saying the complete opposite of what they've been fucking crying about for 10 years, over 10 years, because, you know, the games journalist Vietnam that was Gamergate, you're supposed to believe, was a fucking sustained hate campaign organized from the top by shadowy influencers, and we lost so many brave games journalists sent down into the foxholes of alt-right gamers. Now, it's welcoming, and everybody's welcome. And hey, not only is it welcoming online, it's welcome at the events. Here's a drag competition at the event. By the way, does anybody think, right, for a second, that if like, the gamers were as bad as what people thought? Like, there's a drag competition at fucking DreamHack, and everyone's like, yeah, this is fucking wicked, love drag. Like, you know, I don't know, maybe you were lying for 10 years, guys. But anyway, do you think you would see this at the Esports World Cup? Why not? Same people are organising it, right? Same people are running it. Is Bitch Pudding gonna be fucking, you know, doing the cosplay contest? Are we going to see any cosplay? I'm probably going to go out on a limb. Absolutely not. And then we get back to the question, well, if not, why not? Because this is an article, a puff piece, a paid promotion, branded content. And you're telling me how great this is and how these gaming events bring people together. And it's actually an essential component of the gaming event experience. So the Esports World Cup is the biggest gaming event, right? So, well, we must have drag. We must. There must be drag, guys. If there's not drag, is it even a gaming event, guys? So, Listen, I'm telling you, I better get some drag with my fucking esports guys in Riyadh. I'm going to be very disappointed. And so anyway, they do go on. They talk about ESL Impact some more. Talk about Zaz. You can see we got our friend. Also, shout out to this. They talk about G2 and USA, USA, USA. The cacophonous onlookers howl, celebrating Starbucks 2K, who ends up being the sole North American player left in the tournament by the grand finals, right? Now, again, I'm old enough to remember when Kotaku came to the Boston Major and compared the chants of USA, USA for Cloud9 to a Trump rally. But it's good now. Anyway, I'll read you the final bit. Stewie's sentiment is one mirroring the experiences of many attendees over the full three-day excursion. Whether it's the indie developers whose games are now getting exposure through their first-ever hands-on testing with regular players, or the first-time cosplayers unveiling the suits they've spent months assembling to positive feedback, every person who attends DreamHack can say that they've experienced something unlike anything they've seen before. Under one roof, a chimera-like Mondo community built from an eclectic mix of smaller ones, took the gamers of Dallas by storm for a multifaceted celebration of everything they love. And where that sort of synergy can often feel forced, the teams at ESL Face It Group have stayed true to more humble origins of DreamHack from its early days in Sweden. And Jali Bimani, voice actor for Overwatch, agrees in her conversation with Rolling Stone. It's galvanizing, it really is, she says. DreamHack is unique in that what they care about is including people from all walks of life and giving them an experience that they wanted, not trying to make them have an experience that the company wanted them to have. And then, to have the experience you want to have, check out DreamHack and ESL Face It Group's websites to learn more about upcoming events. Branded content. Now, obviously, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous advertising piece. It's hilarious that we now have to say gaming is everything it ever was and esports is everything it ever was, just at the turning point when it's becoming not what it was. Right? It was like, it was always super welcoming for everybody. Not so much in fucking Riyadh, though. And anyway, they promoted this on LinkedIn. And I just love that everyone's so fucking primed now for this shit. Like, honestly, I actually get why I am so fucking despised by all of these people now. Because it must just be such a pain in the balls. Because they thought they were going to get the bag, right? They thought they were going to get the bag and just walk away with the bag. And it's like, these people are so narcissistic and egotistical and ridiculous that the thing that they cannot handle is, they were like, well, you know, look, we're going to get ridiculed for this because obviously we're completely betraying our values, and it's right to be ridiculed, that we get ridiculed for this because we are very publicly betraying our values that we've always stated we have. But it's fine because we get rich, so let them laugh, let them point. They can't do that. They're going to tie themselves up in knots, right? Trying to make it look like they're genuinely the good guys. This is genuinely a good thing. And it's definitely not all about the Saudi Arabian state money. And so anyway, they published this, the ESL Face It Group. And when they promoted the article, the ESL Face It Group, you can just see immediately James Fudge and James O'Hagan. Where's the ad? Where's the branded content? You guys forget about the FTC standards for advertisements? And then I think the comments got locked. Oh, it's fucking great. I love it. So again, I don't know if putting a little red label at the top, branded content, does it. I mean, I suppose technically maybe it does, but it's just so ridiculous that it's that shameless. It's that shameless a write-up, you know? Anyway, I eagerly await coverage of the Esports World Cup drag competition brought to you by Bitch Pudding and MBS. I can't wait.